Hello, welcome to Alt.80s, the 80s music program with a bit of an alternative spin. Well, regular listeners of Alt.80s will hear me say that the 80s began in 1979. Well, this week I'll demonstrate that notion. The latter half of the 70s saw a diverse range of genres begin to transform and flourish. Genres such as electronica, reggae, ska, grunge, rock, punk, prog rock were all given permission to experiment via the punk era's DIY ethos. Independent labels flourished, the sale of singles reached heights never experienced in the history of recorded music. These trends all came to a head in 1979 and created arguably the most influential moment in the development of popular music. In his blog, Louder Than War, Martin Gray wrote, "Whilst many would argue that 1977-78 was when punk, post-punk truly changed everything, and to some extent that's true, it was actually 1979 which saw many of these post-punk acts redefining, reinventing, and breaking all boundaries with audacious experimentation and hybridisation such that what emerged was arguably even more significant." I've linked to that very illuminating argument via the Alt.80s Facebook page, if you care to kind of dive into that. Well, from that argument, I continue to contend that the alternative 80s began in 1979. And this week on Alt.80s, you can stick with me and hear a selection of tracks from albums and artists that changed the rules in each of their genres, inspiring one of the most vibrant decades in music history. I'll begin now with a band from UK called Japan. They came out of South London. Very influential in the glam rock scene, but later to really influence new wave and new romanticism. This is called Quiet Life. Yeah. Talking Heads, Izimbra, taken from the Fear of Music album from, 1979. Talking Heads, formed in 1975 and described as one of the most critically acclaimed bands of the 80s. 1979 was a bit of a crunch point. The group helped to pioneer new wave music by integrating elements of punk, art rock, funk and world music. And that was evident certainly for the very first time on Fear of Music, their third album, released in 1979, as I said, and the album is often considered one of Talking Heads' best releases, and it's been featured in several publications, lists of best albums of all time. It is probably the most musically varied offering from Talking Heads, and it certainly was that transitional moment from guitar-paced pop and rock into more worldly rhythmic sounds. Transitional moment, as was 1979 for Japan, who formed in 1974. And then in 1979, they briefly worked with the successful Eurodisco producer Giorgio Moroder, who co-produced a one-off single called Life in Tokyo and then influenced their music from then on. And Quiet Life was an example of that, an album released in 1979 that transformed Japan from the past tense, where they were basically pigeonholed as glam rockers, into more futuristic synth popsters. They had been kind of leaning in that direction for quite some time. It was also a very solid proto-new romantic synthesizer record, Quiet Life, and certainly changed them forever and changed the look and feel of glam and new romanticism. This is 2MCFM. You're listening to Alt.80s, the 80s music program with a bit of an alternative spin. And as I keep saying, 1979 is where the 80s began. And tonight, playing bands to prove that point. This is an iconic track from 1979 that changed everything. It's The Clash.
For the rain, the crunch of thing, the ice is coming, the sun's zooming in, meltdown expected, the wheat is going in, engines stop on him, but I have no fear, cause London is drowning. I live by the river, to the imitation zone, forget it brother, you can go it alone, London calling, to the zombies of death, quit holding out and draw another breath. London calling, and I don't want to shout, but while we were talking, I saw you nodding out. London calling, see we ain't got no hide, except for that one with the yellowy eyes. The ice age is coming, the sun's zooming in, engines stuck on him, the wheat is going thick, a nuclear error. But I have no fear, cause London is drowning. And I live by the river.
From their 1979 album Setting Suns, that's The Jam and Eton Rifles. The Jam, a bit of an English mod revival punk rock band as they were pigeonholed through the 70s and 80s, and they kind of share the angry young man outlook as evidenced in that particular track and the kind of fast tempo of the mid-70s British punk rock movement. But they contrasted that with the kind of tailored suits that they wore, reminiscent of the kind of English pop bands of the early 60s. And they incorporated that sound into much of their music and also developed a bit of R&B influences into their sound towards the back end of their career. Setting Suns remains one of the Jam's most critically favoured works. It's a concept album which details the lives of three boyhood friends who later reunite as adults after an unspecified war, only to discover that they've both grown up and apart. An example of the social commentary and very tough guitar work that Paul Weller gave to the world, and an influential band indeed, influenced a generation of musicians to appear through the 80s. Before that, you heard another influential band, and it's the Clash, formed in the mid-70s, 1976, and they were key players in the original wave of British punk rock. And at one time, billed as the only band that matters, they also contributed to the post-punk new wave movements, and those movements emerged in the wake of the punk movement. and they employed a lot of elements of variety of genres in their music, including reggae, dub, funk, ska and rockabilly. London Calling was met with widespread critical acclaim and has since been considered by many critics to be one of the greatest rock albums of all time. 1979 does it again. This is Alt.80s, the 80s music program with a bit of an alternative spin, and I am tonight demonstrating how the 80s began in 1979. Speaking of greatest of all time, we should go to a band that heavily influenced the post-punk era when they emerged out of Self in 1976, but it was their 1979 album Unknown Pleasures that really did the business for them. This is Joy Division.
Thank you. your neck. Heated couplings in the sun.
Or is that untrue?
Colder couplings in the night.
Never saw your body.
Your kiss so sweet. Your sweat so sour. Sometimes I'm thinking that I love you. But I know it's only lust. And changing through you good. I always do it good. You know the change.
That's a Gang of Four and a track called Damaged Goods, taken from their 1979 album. Entertainment, post-punk band formed in 1976 and played a very stripped-down mix of punk rock, funk and dub. Got very dubby towards the back end of their career, but with a lyrical emphasis on the social and political ills of society. Gang of Four, widely considered one of the leading bands of the late 70s, early 80s post-punk movement, and that debut album, Entertainment, was ranked by Rolling Stone as the fifth greatest punk album of all time, an album that reverberated through the 80s in the alternative music scene, as did the work of Joy Division out of Manchester and Unknown Pleasures. You heard a track called Shadow Play, which one reviewer described as all visceral, all emotional, all theatrical, all perfect, one of the best albums ever. Certainly those that are into post-punk will not argue with that whatsoever. And if you're a bit of a Joy Division fan, you'll know how much the band disliked the production work of Martin Hannett. They thought he made them sound too clean, but in retrospect, he turned a garage band into, well, one of the most influential post-punk bands of modern music, and certainly his production influenced the way that guitar bands were produced throughout most of the 1980s. This is 2MCFM. You're listening to Alt.80s, the 80s music program with a bit of alternative spin, and tonight demonstrating how the 80s began in 1979. Well, electronic music and synthesizer music came to the fore in the 80s, didn't it? Every pop tune that came out of the 80s had some kind of synthesizer in it, but synthesizer music had been around for quite some time. Certainly was reasonably quite prominent in the 1970s. And then a guy called Gary Newman came along, gave it a different kind of a twist, and became very popular with his 1979 album called Replicas.
I was in a the stranger, leave the trailer, take the car, feel the sound rushing over you. QED. See my finger, the way it points you. Follow blindly into the road. Feel the sound rushing over you. QED. See the stranger getting nearer. Iron teardrop, collision course. Feel the sound rushing over you. QED.
From the 1979 album Reproduction, that's the Human League and a track called Zero as Limit. Initially an experimental electronic outfit until 1979, and they later attained widespread commercial success with their very popular third album from the early 80s called Dare. But Reproduction was a bunch of tracks of electronic synth pop with a lot of elements of industrial music. And by this time, the Human League's role as the UK electronic pioneers had been usurped by Gary Newman, who we heard before that with Down in the Park from the Replicas album. He entered the music industry as a frontman of new wave band Chibwe Army. And Replicas is their second and final studio album. It's really a Gary Newman album, really. But Chibwe Army get a bit of a mention in there somewhere. Replicas' synthesizer sounds and, while occasionally nihilistic lyrics, greatly impacted the industrial acts that came to prominence, not just in the 80s, but through the 90s as well. You know, bands like Nine Inch Nails and Marilyn Manson have all covered Gary Newman and done great jobs, because that really kind of dark synthesizer sound really worked for those kinds of bands, those industrial acts. This is Alt.80s, the 80s music program, with a bit of an alternative spin. And look, not playing anything from the 80s tonight, playing everything from 1979, because, as you know, I believe that's where the 80s began, right? Yeah? Well, there were some really influential female artists who kind of changed the look, feel, but in particular the look of pop music in the 80s. But it was a couple of releases in 1979 that really brought them into, well, into kind of influential prominence, if you will. One of those has to be Deborah Harry. From 1979, this is Atomic. Unmistakable sound of the B-52s from their self-titled debut album from 1979. And Planet Clare, formed in 1976, drew from 50s, 60s pop sources, bit of trash culture, rock and roll in there, a skewed fusion of pop, surf, avant-garde, amateurish punk and white funk. I talked earlier about hybridisation that came to a peak in 1979. There's a perfect example of it. That's the 52s who successfully positioned themselves as pop culture icons, and that self-titled debut contained kitschy lyrics, mood, hook-laden harmonies, and really helped establish a fan base for the band, who went on to release several chart-topping singles and created such a sound, had such an influence on pop music through the 80s, as did Deborah Harry and Blondie, in particular when Deborah Harry met up with Giorgio Moroder and gave them some hits. And that one, Atomic, came off the Eat to the Beat album from 1979, which was a beautiful fusion of disco and rock, which became the Blondie formula. This is Alt.80s, the 80s music program with a bit of an alternative spin. And tonight I've been convincing you, hopefully, that the 80s began in 1979. I'm going to leave you with a track from a band who, well, actually released the very first punk single called New Rose. The band's called The Damned. Began in 1976, Captain Sensible, Dave Vanian, Rat Scabies, what a typical punk band they were. But in 1979, they released an album called Machine Gun Etiquette, which dragged punk music into the post-punk era. From that album, this is a track called Smash It Up. Have a great week. Hope you'll join me again next week for another Alt.80s. Take care.